most teenagers dream of becoming friends with the artist they adore, 16-year-old Annecy manages to draw the attention of the world's top drag queens and even some notable pop stars. Sharon Needles calls Annecy her drag daughter.
Recently, Annecy was invited by Peaches Christ to come to San Francisco to play Toto in a very drag-tastic production of The Wizard of Oz. She may have played the dog, but Annecy really mirrors Dorothy, who's suddenly transported to a magical land full of gay men in costumes.
And although there's no place like home, it was really hard for Annecy to return to her small town in North Carolina. Listen as Annecy chats with us about why teenage girls love drag queens so much, her photo shoot with Jose Guzman Colon, and pissing on the corpse of the Wicked Witch of the West.
Plus, a follow-up call with her mom, Dee Dee, to make sure Annecy's not some 29-year-old man posing as a teenage girl.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Attention all non-basic queens. Attention all non-basic queens. Show how fierce and fabulous you are with our drag queen inspired t-shirts.
Reading is fundamental.
Hunty.
The shade is strong with this one.
And Shantae. Fabulous fashion for guys and gals with charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Available at feastoffun.com/store.
Hello. You have reached Annecy Incorporated. I am Vina. How can I help you?
Vina, we'd love to speak with Annecy, please.
Oh, you are here for the interview?
We
One
are.
Moment, please.
What's
Hello?
Hi. Was that Vina?
Yes, that was my assistant and slave.
Oh, Vina was on the pilot of Star Trek. She was the woman who was horribly disfigured in a starship accident, but then Captain Pike came back and they lived happily ever after in their hologram world.
Is that like Next Generation or something?
No, the first one. TOS.
Oh.
The original series.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Hi, Annecy. How are you?
It's episode number 3.
Hi, I'm lovely.
How's your day been?
Uneventful.
That's excellent. For a 16-year-old girl, it should be as boring as sin.
Yes.
Did you take your hamster out to play with him?
She's a girl, but not today. But I've looked at her. She's
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to misgender your hamster.
Yeah, that's really offensive.
War with
like,
me.
I'm very, very offended. How dare you, misogynistic, transphobic
hamster hater?
Yes.
So, Annecy, tell us about how you manage to go from a fan of Katy Perry's and a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race into somebody who had kind of a really deep personal relationship with some of these artists.
Well, I just stalk them and harass them on the internet until they give me attention.
So basically you're saying like social media and like Twitter, or was it YouTube? Where did you actually do your interaction with them?
Well, Katy Perry, that was just like lucky thing that happened when I was 13. But the drag scene, I don't know, man. I just like...
Well, let's start with Katy Perry, because she was kind of like your first,
she's been my idol since I was in fourth grade.
She was the first animal you captured into your menagerie of performers and drag queens.
Yeah, I suppose.
So how did you get to meet Katy Perry?
I saved like $1 billion since I started saving my money when I was 11, and then I blew it all on a VIP ticket to her show, and... She took people on stage, and at that song, she's like, she was doing I Want to Dance with Somebody, and she's like, hey, who wants to come on stage? And I started screaming, because I was like front row, and I was screaming and like about to poop my pants, and she like pointed at me, and she was like, you can come on stage. And so like everything just disappeared, and I just ran on stage, and she pointed at, there's like 20 other people on stage, but she's like pointed at me and motioned me to go up to her. And I just like, my face was just starstruck and terrifying. And I was just wobbling, and she's like, come on, dance, baby girl. So I jumped up and down. And then at the end of the song, it was like, hi, I'm a kitty cat. And she's like, oh, do you have a camera? And I'm like, yeah. But I had like three huge, huge tote bags. And my phone was at the bottom of one. So I had to throw them all on the stage and dig for them for like 5 minutes. And I finally found my phone. And it took like 2 minutes to finally load up. And then we took a picture. And then I got to meet her after the show. And like, she like was wonderful. And
When you said you were the kitty cat, what do you mean?
She calls her super fans Katie Cats.
Oh, Katie Cats.
Yeah. And I've been an OG. I don't know what OG
is. So do you hate,
but
like Little Monsters? Are you like, is there a feud between Katy Perry and Lady Gaga?
My best friend Amanda is a huge Little Monster. And like, I always want, like, I get mad at Little Monsters that meet Lady Gaga because I want my best friend to meet Lady Gaga.
Well, she lives here in Chicago. You can stalk her somewhere.
Gaga?
Yeah. I guess, really? From what I understand, she got a place here because her boyfriend, Taylor Kinney's here. He does that TV show, Chicago Fire. And so he's really handsome, and she can't stand to be away from him because he's so beautiful. Do you know who he is?
No.
Oh, my God. Go look at him right now, and you'll be like, oh, my God, he's beautiful.
I will later after this.
But so it, like, with you and your friends, are you like going, Katy Perry is the diva? No, it's Lady Gaga, you know. And then your older gay male friends are like, no, honey, it's Diana Ross. It's Judy Garland.
I just try and be quiet about my Katy Perry obsession because, like, everybody I know is like, hates her or whatever.
That I Kissed a Girl was like, that was the song of the summer. That was such
a huge
hit.
I mean, they don't hate her, but like a lot of my friends are like those teen twinks and stuff that like worship Gaga. So,
do you know? I think actually, Lady Gaga wrote some songs for Katy Perry.
Oh, really?
As Stephanie Germanotta.
No,
no. No? Or no, some of them, because a lot of these girls
they
are
hit
like
at the same time.
Because
Katy Perry's wrote songs for people like Selena Gomez. And
that's
stuff.
What it is. Okay, so because both Stephanie Germanotta and I think Katy Perry's real name is something else, right? It's
Catherine Elizabeth Hudson.
Thank you. And both of them worked for the record labels as songwriters before they sort of like branded them.
Kind
as
of. Like, she spent years and years trying to make it as a singer, but she kept getting turned down and stuff. And she would do songwriting gigs and stuff on the side and stuff, I guess.
Wasn't she like a country gospel singer?
Yeah, not really country. It was more like gospel pop rock thing or whatever, and that was back when she was my age, and the record label failed and she had to go search for something that wasn't gospel, aka,
and so she decided a whipped cream bra.
Yeah,
from Jesus to whipped cream.
Yes.
Which one are you going to choose? I think I'm going to choose the cotton candy myself.
Me too.
So you hung out with Katy Perry on stage, backstage. Have you managed to like ever like interact with her ever again, or this is
no,
like a one-time thing?
No. Well, that year my friends would like talk to her about me, and she remembered me all year. But I don't know if she still knows I exist. But
a lot of the people that you adore and follow do know you exist, and one of them, the most notable, is Sharon Needles.
Yeah.
How did you get Sharon Needles' attention?
Well, I've been obsessed with her since I was like 13, and now I'm 16. And back in last year, I made a Vine account because she made a Vine account. I think what happened was I made a Vine where it was just like, one day Sharon Needles will follow me. And somehow she saw it and followed me. And I like puked. And it was beautiful because I was having a really bad day. And then suddenly she was liking all my posts and then followed me. And I like started crying of happiness. And I ran outside and my mom didn't understand. And she didn't know who Sharon was back then. And
what did your mother say the first time she saw Sharon?
Well, in person or
well, like, how did you tell your mother, basically, like, I've become friends with a Satanist drag queen?
No, my mom actually, like, loves that. Like,
your mom's kind of countercultural herself, right?
Yeah. But the first time I, like, ever gave my mom an idea of who Sharon was when I was 14 in, like, April 2012, where I drew a picture of Sharon with blood coming out of her mouth, and it was really, really, really ugly and terrible and stupid.
Oh,
but
so
I, like, showed
like
it to my mom, and it was like, hey, Mom, look what I drew. And she's like, what's coming out of her mouth? That worries me. And then she tweeted me like 2 weeks later, and I screamed and ran around my house and hyperventilated, and my parents didn't understand and didn't care. But then I think they finally started caring about Sharon, like, after I won the cruise contest thing.
Well, scary pictures like that can sometimes scare parents because psychologists use those to figure out what's going.
Yeah, and I was going through, like, crazy mental problems at the time. Mm-hmm. And being homeschooled and stuff because of my depression and stuff. So, like, stuff like that was spooky, I guess, to Dee Dee.
Have drag queens helped you face these challenges? Like, their stories and their art inspires you?
Yes, I don't think I would be here if I never overly obsessed with drag queens today, because they are just the light of my life. They just make me so happy, and I can, like, think about them for hours and just, I'm really, really psychotic and creepy, but, like.
What is it that attracts you to, like, Sharon Needles and drag queens in general? Like,
I don't know.
What do you think it is? Have you ever, like, thought about it, or, like, do when your friends ask you?
All the time I question myself, why am I obsessed with men who wear dresses? Like, but they just bring me so much joy, and like, and they're all like, they all have stories and stuff that inspire me, and I'm a very theatrical person, and I've always been like interested in these kind of people since I was like a little like baby or whatever, like,
yeah,
like, because I was obsessed with Boy George when I was in like first grade.
So you feel like your struggles are their struggles, you can relate to them.
Yeah.
And so them using costumes and performance to overcome stuff inspires you to do the same.
Yeah, because that's what I do. Like, theater has been my escape, like, my whole life, for like my dislike of myself or whatever, my esteem issues and
I
stuff.
I think your mom told us that you started videotaping yourselves at like 3 years old.
Yeah, I used to steal my dad's camera, or like I would make him like help me hold his camera, and I would film things, and like I would take the camera and just film myself being stupid and make these scenes and stuff.
A lot of people actually don't realize that a major demographic, a substantial audience for RuPaul's Drag Race and all content about drag queens is 16-year-old girls like yourself. Like, you're kind of like, you know, ever since we started interviewing a lot of the girls from RuPaul's Drag Race, we started having a lot of young listeners like you tuning in. And it becomes a kind of an interesting question that we have to answer ourselves as older gay men. There's children listening, you know, there's teenagers listening. And so do we change what we're talking about and how gritty and subversive we are because children are listening? Or do we stay true to our words, because that's part of the reason they're tuning in the first place?
Well, I think that if we're into this stuff already, that it's like okay that we hear all this, because most of us are aware of like how explicit and kooky drag queens can be, and like that they're very sexual and drunky and stuff.
Because some of them are kind of messy, you know, and it's like, and as a teenager, do you, you know, because you idolize these drag queens, and you went on a drag cruise.
Yeah.
And I blurted out to Michelle Visage, who said, Sharon Needles gave me acid.
No, I said Sharon gave me drugs when I was referencing pizza, because I was.
So Michelle didn't know what you were talking about.
I know. I was really, really loopy. I was being surrounded by drag queens and people I idolized, and I was sitting down with Michelle Visage, and I was like, Sharon Needles gave me drugs. And I had to tell her on the last night that I meant pizza, because have you ever had pizza and just like got really tired and loopy? Because that's like when I eat so much pizza, I just like go so loopy. Like, I didn't know what I was talking about. Like,
but then Michelle, like, she really was concerned.
She got
she's
so
like,
angry,
you can't,
and I didn't know what to do. I just like zoomed, like, my head was everywhere, and yeah, that was not something you're supposed to say to people, and that could have like been really bad for Sharon's reputation, because Sharon's a very, very responsible person, no matter what anybody thinks she is, because like my mom trusts me with Sharon and more than any of my other adult friends, and it's wacky.
Aww.
Like, everybody thinks that Sharon's this crazy, like, abusive, drug addict, transphobic, racist. She's, like, the sweetest person I know.
Why do you think she has that reputation?
Just because that's what her character is, and people don't understand things, and they like to take things out of context. And
she's very sweet to you.
She's very sweet. She's also very motherly, which is scary because she is very, like, strict and acts like a mother. And so I have to be a good girl, and I'm very bratty, so I...
Does she punish you?
Yeah, I guess.
So is this like a Christina Crawford and Joan Crawford? Did you ever see the movie Mommy Dearest?
I feel like it's more of... Dawn Davenport and Taffy Davenport. Like I literally feel like that's our relationship because I'm really annoying and she's like really glamorous and doesn't want me to be annoying and stuff and tries to give me everything, but I'm just a little annoying brat.
Well, what kind of boundaries does Sharon Needles set for you? What kind of rules does she have for you?
It's
time to go to bed. Do your homework, or otherwise you're not good. I'm going to take away your glitter.
It does seem like all of the internet is always telling you to go to bed.
Well, we were able to FaceTime for a while, and now our phone's like broken, so we can't lately. And for instance, I guess like I went through a little phase where I like got really over dramatic and upset over stuff a couple months ago, and I was taking it out on my pals that are like pals with her, and she was on tour and she couldn't do anything, and it stressed her out, and like I think she sort of like resorted from talking to me for a while, but like I don't know, you
okay?
You're not having a heart attack, are you?
It was I was just not being a good girl, and
so tell me the story here. You got on to the Drag Stars at Sea cruise, the very first one where they had banned. Oh, that was the second one. Okay, it wasn't the first one where they had banned drag on the drag cruise.
Right,
and then 2 days before the event, they apologized and.
Right, that was 2012.
But so you did the second cruise, and a lot of people don't realize that these cruises, I don't know if they're still that way, but early on, you had basically unfettered access to these drag stars, and you're both on a boat together, and they have no place to go except overboard to escape you.
Yeah, or their rooms.
Or their rooms, and they lock themselves up in their rooms. And so it was kind of cool for you because you got to meet like Halpernia Adams, you got Michelle Visage, and all these other people.
It was crazy.
What were some of the other people you got to meet that were really extraordinary and warm in person?
Well, of course, Sharon, but Jinx and Detox and pretty much everybody there were like so sweet and welcoming, but Jinx and Detox were like the sweetest. And who else? Vicky Boxer is really sweet, and I got me and Vivian Panay got to talk a lot, and me and Alyssa Edwards talked a lot, and she was obsessed with me because I made Alyssa laugh so much. And me and Honey Mahogany talked a couple times. Like,
well,
she was there.
Alyssa Edwards works with children all the time. Like, he teaches dance classes.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's also, isn't he from North Carolina?
No, he's from Texas.
He's from Texas. Okay, he's like a dance mom's, basically, like that. He's the drag queen Abby Lee. People don't know, realize that. And so, like, so you really got to connect with Alyssa Edwards.
Yeah. I think she lived for me because I was making her laugh a lot. And, like, on the first night, we went there. Detox, Willem, and Vicky had a show. Rest in peace. They had DMV. A show, and
I think those three will get back together again someday.
Yeah, well, me and Alyssa were on the same elevator, and we were talking about Santa Claus, and then we were like, bye, and I went to the show, And she came in and she's like, "Hey, can I sit next to you, girl?" And I was like, "Yeah, hi, I love you." And she's like, "Oh, girl, I'm living." And so I was like freaking out the entire show, like, because of Detox Film and Vicky. And Alyssa was just like, "Yes, girl, get it, woo! I'll get back rolls."
So she was animated the whole time during the show. She doesn't really ever calm
down.
Yeah,
she's so precious. She's like. I have so many memories of her just, like, being so goofy, and it makes me so happy, because there was, like, one where she's, like, there was a club discotheque thingy there, and that everybody would go to, and I remember one night, she had a hat, this little, like, cap on or whatever, and she just kind of looked like a worm dancing around, and it just makes me laugh, and there's a video of it somewhere, and... I'm so stupid, sorry.
So as a consequence of kind of like being on that boat, then you started video blogging about RuPaul's Drag Race and imitating things that you saw on television, which we actually loved, your vivacious, ornate.
Well, I've always done that.
Testimony.
Just,
okay. So have you done any other drag queens? Which ones have you imitated the most?
Everybody. Uh-huh. I just do bad imitations on a regular basis. There's a terrible video of me that I posted last year, like really early last year when nobody knew who I was, where I try to do impressions of like 60 queens and not 60, but like a billion. I don't know. Or some amount. And I cringe when I think about it because it was really bad.
Well, I absolutely adored when you did Vivacious Ornatia, yeah, and you made that outfit.
That was all over the place. Like,
Mother has arrived, and then it's like, you had more trouble getting that thing off than she did on the show.
Thing.
It's hysterical.
Yeah.
And of course, we absolutely loved your testimony that you did for Cooking with Drag Queens, where you broke out Ornatia again.
Yeah.
And you made a little thing of RuPaul soup.
Yeah, that's a picture I cut out of RuPaul from these little cards that I have, and I ended up eating the soup, and then I just stuck RuPaul's face on the wall in our dining room, and it's still there.
Then recently, a couple of weeks ago, you went to San Francisco and
the week before.
So yeah. 2 weeks ago. You played Toto the dog in Peaches Christ's production of The Wizard of Oz with Sharon Needles as the Wicked Witch, and they called it The Wizard of Odd.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you convince Peaches Christ to put you in the production?
I wrote an 8-paragraph essay and sent it to her on Facebook saying why I should be in the play.
What did you say?
"Hi, The Wizard of Oz has been my life since I was a fetus. You are one of my idols, and it's been a dream of mine to work with you since I was like 14, and I've always wanted to do The Wizard of Oz with you and Sharon, and I never thought it could actually happen. So I was like, I think you should like cast me in your play, because like Sharon's my mom, and, like, yeah."
Now, what do you
and
say?
She's like, "Okay, I'll call you."
Now, I've seen, with these 8 paragraphs, I've seen your paragraphs on Facebook. Are these, like, 8 normal paragraphs or, like, 5
those
paragraphs?
Those are actually, I actually wrote 8 paragraphs with proper grammar, proper capitalization, and proper punctuation, and I never do that, but...
So it can be done.
Yes. I'm actually very, very skilled in the English language. I just don't usually show it publicly.
What did you want to play in The Wizard of Oz? Odd.
Dorothy.
Peaches, I don't think I was ready to give that up.
But Toto is my second choice, and Sharon wanted me to be the coroner. And so, but Peaches called me, and the first thing she said was like, "What do you think about playing Toto?" And it's like, "Yes, please."
Now, did you get any lines?
Yeah, rough.
Well, the best moment that I saw of all the video that people uploaded was when you crawled over to the dead witch, to dead Sharon Needles, and peed on her.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing to do.
It's to pee on dead bodies.
That was my idea. And in the second show, they didn't give me time to do it, so that didn't happen in the second show, but I'm really glad that somebody filmed it.
Yeah, because that's the best part. Yeah,
I also like when the flying monkeys took you away.
Yeah, I like that too. Like the Welcome to the Jungle number was.
Were they as cute, the flying monkeys, in person as they look on the film, or were they scary?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because the choreographer for the production is one of the flying monkeys.
Yeah, Rory.
And he and I flirt with each other on Facebook.
Yeah, he's listening, love Rory. Right, he's such a nice little man.
In some ways, your adventure in San Francisco with Peaches Christ mirrored the story of Dorothy going to the Wizard of Oz.
I really want to like write a novel based off this someday because it like was a complete parallel to it and it was beautiful.
You've seen the movie Almost Famous?
Yeah, many times, and I was just talking about it to my parents last night.
And this is from, it's a coming-of-age story of a teenage journalist writing for Rolling Stone magazine, and in the movie, she sort of, like, embeds herself into these rock bands' lives.
Well, it's a dude.
Well, I mean, it stars, Goldie Hawn's daughter, right? Kate Hudson.
Yeah, but that's the
protagonist is a
she's
dude.
A she's, groupie. The main person's a dude, and he's like a writer who wants to write for Rolling Stone and all this stuff, and so he latches on to this band, like takes him on tour and stuff, and yeah.
Well, in the 1970s and the 80s, some women in the United States became famous for being groupies.
Yeah,
here in Chicago. Most notably was Cynthia Plastercaster, who...
Yeah, I've heard you talk about her.
Yeah, and she was somebody who had sex with a lot of these famous musicians. Oh. Jimi Hendrix.
I don't plan on doing that with drag queens.
Yeah. I'm sure your parents are relieved to hear that. But so she would like bring a Plaster of Paris casting kit with her, and I guess she'd give them drugs or something to keep their erections... long enough.
Get them excited.
No, I think she actually gave them like I don't know what a Chinese Viagra or something, and got their dicks really hard and did like a cast of these things, and she became kind of like a personality.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these there was like a couple other women who were like known for their embedding themselves in these lives of these famous celebrities, and they became well known for that sort of thing. And it's interesting that you have all now kind of gotten a name for yourself. And so, like, for example, Chris Crocker is a fan of yours as opposed to you being a fan of his.
Well, it's funny because I was, like, I idolized Chris when I was 9, like, when Leave Britney Alone came out. Like, I just, like, was obsessed with him when I was a little kid. And I have been up to this point, I guess. He makes me happier, like, everything he does, like, so happy everything he does, because he's, like, really, really goofy, and we, like, are practically the same person, and his birthday is, like, the day after mine, too, and we're both Sagittariuses, and Sagittarius, I don't know how to pronounce that, but...
Well, in The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy goes into a strange land that's mostly populated by gay men in costumes.
Right. Right.
And your trips to San Francisco is very much the same thing. And
except San Francisco is a little dirtier, but...
And so you were writing on Facebook that you didn't want to click your heels to go home because... You felt like San Francisco was your home.
Well, no, I don't want to live there, but like, I didn't want to leave because I just had such an amazing time and I want to go back like right now and see all those people. Like, there, I met like a billion amazing people that just were so wonderful and welcoming and so inspiring and had great conversations with me and blah, blah, blah.
Do other female friends of yours or other fans of RuPaul's Drag Race get jealous at you? They're like, "What? Why do you deserve this? Why am I not getting this?"
I think so.
And what do you say to them?
I tell them that, like, if this can happen for me, it can happen for you. Because I'm a little kid living in North Carolina. I have parents who don't want to do anything, but they have to come along for the ride because I have these great opportunities and I force them to take me and stuff. And I live in North Carolina. Nobody ever comes here. I'm too young to go to drag bars and stuff. I don't have any money. I just save all my money and that's how I can afford these things, which is complicated. And
Well, you sell merchandise online, don't you? Like Redbubble.
Yeah, and my mom hogs all the money. I don't have any access to my own profit.
Oh.
So you're like a child star. You're like a Macaulay Culkin whose parents took all the money.
I guess.
We have a surprise for you, actually.
Oh, boy.
We actually interviewed your mom about you to see if your story was true or not.
If you are a real little girl, because there was rumors out there that you were actually a 28-year-old woman.
A man, actually.
pretending to be a 16-year-old girl.
Oh, gosh. Why'd you do... No, not Dee Dee.
Yes, Dee Dee.
Dee Dee, your mama. So we have her on the other line, but we're going to talk to her in a minute to see if your story holds up true, but actually it does, and she has some really beautiful and lovely things to say about it.
Oh.
And so, you know, to kids listening to this right now, it's like, what kind of advice do you have for them about making your dreams come true?
Well, my two favorite quotes are, don't dream it, be it. And there's a thing that RuPaul says in Wigstock where he's like, hold on to your dreams, hold on to your dreams. Because if it can happen for me, it can happen for you. Can I get an amen up in here?
Amen.
Yeah. Everybody say love. Everybody say love. Now drive that back to East River and get your ass out of here. You know, it's in to be gay in the 90s. Who would have thunk it, right? Sorry, it went off.
Well, yeah,
but anyway,
we should do a congratulations to RuPaul's Drag Race, because we haven't mentioned that they actually won an award for Outstanding Achievement in Reality Programming for the 2014 Television Critics Association Awards.
One, and unlike the Emmys, this award actually means something.
Yes, and they beat out like The Amazing Race and The Voice. So, I mean,
they beat out all reality television shows. Yes. So,
well, good, because there's not any other good reality show.
Are you trying out for RuPaul's Drag Race?
I've planned to since I was like 13, but or 12.
You might have to wait till you're 18, but I don't know what they
21.
Do. Well, what?
We want to extend an invitation. If the Cooking with Drag Queens Kickstarter goes through, we'd like to invite you to participate in be the only bio girl.
The faux queen.
The faux queen.
I would love to do that. Can we make mac and cheese?
We can make mac and cheese. How do you like to make mac and cheese?
Craft.
What?
No, you have to make it from scratch, honey.
To make it in a boiling pot, put macaroni in a thing, and then melt cheese on it.
Well, you like it because it's fast and convenient, right?
I have a good recipe.
No, it takes like 30 minutes.
For but a kid, that's forever. That's like half their lifetime is 30 minutes.
I know.
I have a one.
But yeah, I want to do that. Like, I want to go on Cooking with Drag Queens, but I don't have no money.
Well, that's all right. You just share that shit on Facebook and, sorry, and do it with your friends. I have a good recipe. I used to work at Michael Jordan's restaurant, and we have Juanita Jordan's, his wife at the time, her recipe for mac and cheese. And I got to tell you, it's delicious. All the women would come in there, and they'd order it, and they'd like size it up, and they'd look at it and be like, mine's better than this. And some people are like, oh, that's okay.
I made a mac and cheese recipe when I was in like 7th or 8th grade that was like really, really, really good. And I still have it in my head, but like I haven't made it in a long time because the last time I ate it, I was sick. So like when I think about it, like I get nauseous.
People are looking at these pictures of you on the site, and that's not really what you look like. You don't dress up in drag to go to school.
I have before, like, several times.
But you're not wearing, like, this flawless makeup and this flawless pink wig.
Well, I can't do that. But
this came to you through Jose Guzman Colon, who, for you guys who are not familiar with this photographer, he probably photographed most of the world's famous drag queens.
He even photographed Nicole Page Brooks, and I was actually pissed that he already had, because I made a Vine saying I was going to my first Jose blah, blah, blah shoot. I don't know how to say his name.
Colon Guzman.
Oh, Jose Guzman Colon.
That's
colon.
It.
Think about like your lower intestines, colon.
Yeah, okay. my lower intestines.
But
okay.
So did he approach you, or did you write to him and say,
I was like, please take pictures of me someday. And he's like, okay, let's do it tomorrow.
Because I thought it was great. You
now,
know?
Who put you in drag?
He did in Jim Jehovah.
Oh, wow.
And it was amazing because he's being shot by him and has been on my bucket list for a long time as well. I didn't think that would happen, and it did. And I'm like, I died when he said we would do it. And Yeah.
What was it like working with Peaches Christ, who you like to call Pizza Crust?
Pizza Crust, yeah.
Pizza Crust. I think I'm going to call her that from now on.
Pizza Crust when I was there, though. I don't think I've been able to call her Pizza Crust directly before, because I keep forgetting. But I've had a habit of accidentally calling her pizza when I'm talking about her. But I was really starstruck and scared. But she's like the sweetest person ever, and
you didn't mind
amazing.
The smell at all.
What?
You didn't mind the smell at all.
No, it was fine.
I'm just teasing. That's for peaches or pizza. Pizza.
They call her Pizza Crust because it's the part of the pizza nobody wants.
That's so mean. Everybody wants peaches.
I actually prefer the pizza crust to the pizza myself.
Yeah.
It depends what kind of pizza crust.
Yeah, depends.
What's your favorite kind of pizza?
I don't know.
Well, it depends. What was the flavor in the slice of pizza that Sharon gave you that you said was like drugs?
Cheese.
It was just a slice of cheese pizza.
Yeah, she always forces me to eat a lot of pizza because like I don't like eating in front of people, and she's like, eat.
Oh, so sweet.
Aw.
She tried to make me eat this huge burrito in before the show, and it was really big, and it had beans and rice, and it looked weird, and it just sat in the dirt, and I just stared at it, and I felt so bad. Because she ate, like, half of it, and then she's like, finish it. And it's like, I don't like that.
It's hard to eat sometimes before you go on stage, though, right?
Yeah, but it's also hard for me to eat in front of people. Plus, I'm a very picky eater, and I'm not going to eat something that looks like somebody's face.
Well, let me give you a little bit of science. Your taste buds are literally maturing just like your body is right now.
Very, very, very slowly.
Well, and so in the next 5 years, you're going to have a different mouth to taste the food with. And so things that you thought was kind of icky or are going to be delicious to you. So just know that.
My goal in life is to actually like Brussels sprouts, which I hate more than anything. Like,
cook them with
bacon.
They're
one of the few things I do hate.
If they're cooked correctly, they can be delicious.
No.
But it's a tricky vegetable
to cook.
I don't
believe you.
With a balsamic reduction and bacon.
I don't believe you.
We'll make, you know what we'll do? We'll do a Brussels sprouts pizza.
Brussels sprouts mac and cheese.
I don't even like pizza that much. It has to have cheese or olives. Yeah, well, it has to have both. But
so where do you go from here? I mean, you're going to study theater, I'm assuming, which means that you'll
be
broke.
Yeah, I want to go to New York University.
But something tells me you're going to be a huge success because it's like you're such a resourceful person.
Well, I want to be famous so I can tell people my story, and I want to have like one of those big like Katy Perry Cher giant concert things where they're like flying all over the place because those look fun. I want to be on that level just so I can do a big show like that.
I know you're a listener of this podcast and we talk about this all the time, and you understand that a lot of kids who have faced depression or broken families or abuse or bullying at school, that they're attracted to fame because they think it's a solution to all the challenges they face. But in reality, fame just is another set of new problems. Fame does not solve anything. It's just a new set of rules.
It is. I've, like, knowing Sharon and being able to, like, have, like, my, like, I've turned from being a fan to seeing the fans come to Sharon or whatever. Like, it's the script or whatever has been flipped, I guess. I don't know how to explain it, but
you understand that Sharon still has struggles and problems even though she's been successful.
I've pretty much like been exposed to what like fame actually is, like the reality of it, and it's like really, really, it's actually really sad. Like she's not like Katy Perry level or whatever, but she has a huge amount of fans and people who want to like get her attention. She has all this stuff she has to do. She can't be at home all the time. Like, she's never able to, like, spend much time at home to see her little kitty, Cerrone, and her family and stuff. And it's really sad because, like, she has to be distanced from so much and has to work nonstop. And it's, and then she gets so much hate from all these people in the world. Like, who think it's bad that she does plastic surgery, or like vines from last year that don't mean anything make her a bad person.
Did you see Sharon smacking one of her
fans?
That's
what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And that the person who she was smacking or whatever, that person is somebody into like kinky, like she's a masochist, and
you could definitely see she was a willing participant in that video.
She's into it, and she did a performance or something that like had violence or whatever on it, and she's like, "Hey Sharon, you want to try stuff out on me?" So she was like, "Sure," and Sharon's friend vined it, and the girl that was in those vines even like made a post on Tumblr about it, saying like defending Sharon and stuff, and people think that that girl is like being victimized, and it's really is so stressful because people don't want to like actually look into the real story.
I would slap that girl, wouldn't you?
If she wanted me to.
Yeah. Would you burn her with cigarettes? I would.
If she wanted me to.
I would feel comfortable burning her or abusing her, because it, sometimes it's like when part of me like wants to be a dominatrix and all that stuff, but the other part of me is like, oh my God, I'm like physically breaking somebody's skin and assaulting
them.
Well,
when she's like, when Sharon's burning that girl's forearm, the girl is actually holding her own arm up to brace herself for the burning.
I guess
it's
the argument
like she was like
that,
running away
the
from
argument
it.
That some people are saying is that even though someone wants to be hurt, doesn't mean mm-hmm. that you
should hurt them.
Should hurt them.
But if it's for art, some people die for art.
Yeah. Like,
well, if someone, you know, that's the thing that you have to, and it's a really interesting discussion, which is, you know, at what point, where do you draw the line of abusive things done for art or for publicity or for whatever reason, you know? And
some people just like have different interests that people don't understand, and we should all respect that. Like, some people are masochists, some people are into incest, and I don't really think incest is the greatest idea ever, but like I respect people who are, I even respect furries, and I can't stand furries, and I respect straight white men who wear fedoras and like memes because they're human, and that's it's not, if, as long as they're not hurting anybody. Like, if they're not hurting anybody, like, you should respect people.
Annecy, at the height of the controversy, and a part of me feels the controversy over shemale and RuPaul's Drag Race and transgender people feeling that RuPaul was insensitive to their criticisms of the show, you had a lot of really beautiful things that were very trying to mend the divide that you wrote on Facebook. Can you talk about what you said?
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, that there's so much stuff going on in this world that doesn't, like, that is so terrible, and people just, there's all this controversy going on right now about words like tranny and shemale, which, like, I understand that they can be offensive to some people, and if you are offended by them, I think like people shouldn't use them around you if you're offended, but like I don't think there should be like any sort of ban on words just because one person is offended. There's so many people in the trans community who have been around for so long that are very, very highly influential that have defended the word tranny, like Calpurnia Adams and Jane County and Candace Kane and so on. I think it's just silly that people want to focus on banning the word tranny just because Carmen Carrera doesn't like that word.
Well, I think part of the thing was that a lot of transgender people felt that the show was insensitive, flippant.
Yeah.
And, you know, that comes with the territory of being a drag queen is sometimes assholes become drag queens. You know?
Right.
Really nice people become drag queens, too. And so they were kind of like feeling like, listen, you know, this is a show that kids watch and it's on logo.
I understand that. And I do, I think there are lines that there's a place where you can draw the line. You should draw the line or whatever. Like, I think the challenge that they did, the shemale challenge, I didn't actually really like that idea because I think they were weren't there trans people that were actually like counted as shemale in there or whatever?
I don't think so. But, no, there were drag queens or, you know, biological women.
Whatever it was, like I don't think it was like the smartest choice that RuPaul's Drag Race could have made. About, oh girl, you got a shemale. I think that should be able to stay because it means it's like a play on email, just with girls. She, not shemale as the sex workers in the trans community.
I kind of feel, I know what you're talking about, but at the same time, I think RuPaul is such a creative person, and he's so good at coming out with infinite variations on catchphrases and ideas. Mm-hmm. And for me to see, ooh, girl, you got shemale over and over and over again after season, to me is missing an opportunity to be like, it's kind of like, isn't it fun when she says, you have a special message in your big pink furry box.
Yeah, it used to just be big pink box, and now it's furry.
And so that kind of thing is like, it's really exciting. And so if they could do more of those things.
Cut it out. They didn't like replace it with anything.
Yeah, but it kind of seems like there's a lot.
I do think it would be interesting if they came up with something new to put there.
It feels like it doesn't fully utilize all the things that RuPaul is good at.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, there's six seasons. We don't need to hear shemale every season.
And my feeling about it is like, you know what? And this is a mess of something we can all learn in life. When we don't fully utilize all the gifts and talents that we have, people are going to be pissed off at us. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, how dare you be so selfish to keep your fabulous self bottled up.
I agree with that.
Honestly, who are you stalking from season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race this year? Who are you stalking?
Mostly Adore.
Yeah?
I'm obsessed with Ben and Jocelyn a lot, and then pretty much everybody else I'm obsessed with. But me and Adore, like, I think she is a fan of mine.
Aww.
And
I think we talked about you with her last time she was on the show.
She loves
like,
you.
Like, she's like, I love Annecy, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah. Because, like, I've known of Chris for 7 years. And I actually knew who she was before she was even on American Idol that season.
Wow. From YouTube.
There was this website called Stickam that I used to be like.
Oh, I've heard of that. What was that website all
about?
It was
like MySpace with webcams. And she had some account thingy there. And I was like 10. And I was like crazy and embarrassing. And she had like a Danny Noriega account or whatever that I would like go in and stare at him and be like, talk to me. She never, like, he never like acknowledged me. But then, without any effort from my part, she suddenly obsessed with me. And I've been obsessed with her since I was 10, so.
Now you're 16. Are you allowed to date boys yet? Do your parents let you date?
Or girls.
Or girls.
Yeah. I had a girlfriend for like a week, and then she broke up with me.
Aww.
Wait, girlfriend or boyfriend?
Girlfriend.
Ooh.
I don't really care like about their genitals, so.
So you do you have any identification or do you, are you?
I don't know what I am.
You're just kind of like playing it out and figuring out.
I thought I was a lesbian, but sometimes I'm like, ooh, boy, is that kind of cool. But like then I look at penises and I'm like, ew. And then I'm like, I look at vaginas.
What boys
and I'm
do you
like,
think
ew.
Are? What boys do you think are cute? Like, who do you have a celebrity crush on? Any boys?
They're all gay men. It's not like I have access to them.
Who would you, if you could be like in a relationship with, of any of the drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yeah. I don't want to say that. It's creepy.
Let's pretend you were a gay boy.
Yeah, if you're dating any of them, who like makes your heart flutter?
I'm not gonna do this because it's embarrassing and creepy. I'm already creepy enough as it is.
I think probably Courtney Act is pretty cute though.
Yeah, he's pretty cute. Yeah.
No, he's boring to you.
Jocelyn was cute too.
I'm a huge fan, but like,
have you seen those? I don't want to. Have you seen those photos of Jocelyn Fox out of drag on the internet?
What?
Did you Google Jocelyn Fox out of drag?
Well, we're Facebook pals.
No, but Google those. They're on Tumblr. Don't worry, people. There's no nudity, but they're very sexy photos. His body's all oiled up, and he's
Want to see that.
He's all like, "Come hither," kind of thing. As a boy,
What does your sister Avalon think of your celebrity stalking?
But I don't know.
Does she do that kind of stuff?
She's like, "That drag queens are stupid."
She was posting on Facebook how proud she was of me, like a couple weeks ago, when I was leaving San Francisco, and that made me really happy because we don't really talk as much as we should because she moved out and
how old is
like
she?
She's 19. She's gonna be 20 in November.
Is she in college?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not like she like ran away from home or something.
But I love her so much. We just don't see each other enough, and like she came over the other day, and I tried to like show her all my stuff from San Francisco, and she just like kept walking away and was like, "Avalon, look." And then she took my ukulele and started playing, and I was like, "Hey, that's mine."
Sisters.
Yeah. Yes. My best friend Stephanie and I think we have a better relationship than my biological sister.
So it's one sister, and then you also have a brother?
No.
So it's just two girls.
I have an imaginary twin brother that I came up with in sixth grade, though.
Oh, what was his name?
Well, he's not really imaginary. He's like just this character I came up with. His name was Bruce Jones BJ. He was some thug rapper dude that, like, he was white trash, and he wore Groucho glasses, and he started out in fifth grade, and he came to my school, and everybody was like, "Yeah, Bruce, yo, woohoo!" And it's like, "I'm Bruce Jackson. How you doing?" "Wait, oh, did I just say that?" I meant Bruce Jones.
And see, I want you to know that no matter what you do and what you wear, that it's you we like. Nobody
liked me in elementary school.
We like you just the way you are right now. And I want you to really like remember that when you're feeling blue, when you're feeling sad.
Thank you.
That, you know, it's not the things you wear. It's not the way you comb your hair.
And your hair is crazy, by the way.
It's the way you don't
comb it. How do you tame that thing?
I don't. It just sits there and then it gets
you're
snotty.
Giving like Natasha Lyonne realness with that hair.
I love Natasha.
You should go as her for Orange is the New Black for Halloween because your hair is like on par with that. Mm. You're like, "I'd rather do drag."
Yeah.
Annecy, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And
no problem. I don't have anything else to do. My summer is pretty much over because nothing else.
We'll get a job.
Well, you know, one thing you can do right now is you can go to our Kickstarter and share Cooking with Drag Queens with your friends on Facebook and say, "Mommy, Daddy, I want you to get some money to Cooking with Drag Queens."
And send it to your
rich
friends.
My parents don't like giving money away. And
friends' parents.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah,
Have any rich friends?
Get Chris Crocker to donate some money.
Well, he's still a working buddy. I don't know.
He can give a dollar. You know what he can do? He can share it with his millions of friends and followers on Twitter.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, just bully him into
just
it.
Just say, "I'm Annecy, and you need to do what I say."
Yeah.
Just be like, "I'm more famous than you now."
No. Nobody knows who I am.
That's not true. The people that listen to this podcast do. And all the people that follow you on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, Annecy, we actually have your mom on the other line.
Oh, no.
So we're going to talk to her now and see if your story holds up.
Okay.
Find the truth behind Annecy.
Bye, Annecy.
Bye.
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 Hi.
This is Dee Dee.
Hi, Dee Dee. It's Fausto.
And Mark from Feast of Fun.
When did Annecy come out to you as a fan of drag queens? Or how did she come out?
Well, I don't know if it was a matter of coming out. It's just, you know, she's always been into all kinds of things. And I knew that she was really interested in Sharon Needles.
Yeah.
And she wanted me to take her to see Sharon Needles on Halloween, I think in 2012. But I wasn't able to take her. And I didn't know who Sharon was. And I was actually going to Hampton Roads to see Todd Rundgren and Ethel, so I couldn't have taken her anyway, but the club would have been, you know, she wouldn't have been able to get in. It was a school night. So that was really sort of the first real introduction, which wasn't a real happy one.
And had you seen pictures of Sharon at that point in time?
No, I had no idea who she was.
So you didn't watch the RuPaul's Drag Race alongside your daughter when it aired on television?
I don't watch TV. Yeah. I rarely watch
TV. You're a smart woman.
Well, I just don't seem to have the time, or there's just never, it seems like you've got like 2 billion channels and nothing's ever on, and I'm working all the time anyway. So, but I guess what really started bringing it into me was when she came in after school one day and said that she had entered a contest and submitted a video, and that she had won second place, and that that first place was a cruise.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of if she had told me about it before, I did not remember.
The Drag and, Stars of at Sea cruise.
Yes, and my first thought was, whew, what if she had won it? Anyway, what am I going to do if she wins a cruise? So I'm like, I don't know what second place was supposed to be, but she had said that she had made a video about how drag queens made her happy. And now that I think about it, when she started high school, which was, okay, this was ninth grade. I guess I did skip a bit or miss something here. They have a thing here in Greensboro occasionally called Drag Queen Bingo. Mm-hmm. And she started going to that when she first started ninth grade. So I guess she was 14. So we'd take her downtown to that and pick her up. And, you know, it was fine. She got to become friends with a lot of the local drag queens. But again, it wasn't anything I was, you know, really focusing on or anything. I just was glad she was getting out of the house.
And so, but she didn't win, but you guys still went on the cruise ship together.
Right. So what happened was she came back a couple of days later. Oh, well, she showed me her video, and I thought it was really sweet, you know, because she had gone through a lot of hard times in middle school. I won't go into the whole of it, but part of it was she had gone to private school up to fifth grade, and she was really smart. I mean, she's incredibly intelligent. She's got a high IQ. She was reading 2 grade levels ahead, but because she was in private school and she went to public school, private school didn't offer this state end of grade test. So the public school principal exploited that fact that she didn't have that test with those scores and placed her in with the remedial students. So here's somebody reading at basically eighth grade level, put in a class with people reading at third and fourth grade. And just all kinds of horrible things happened from there on through middle school. But she went there because they had a theater program. She's always been obsessed with theater, and I think this is one reason she likes drag. But anyway, getting back to the cruise. So she came back to me a couple days later and said that she had that video that she had made where she talked about how drag queens make her happy and helped her get over depression. She said that one of the travel agent owners, I believe it was Chuck, was so moved by her video, they decided to give her the cruise.
Aww. And then you're going, oh, what do I do now?
Yes. I mean, it's a week out of school, and we've got to get down there. You know, and even though you win a free cruise, there's still a lot of cost involved.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And we really weren't in a position to do that. But I couldn't not let her go.
And so how are you guys able to, because she says that she sold a bunch of t-shirts online to raise the money to go on the cruise.
Not really.
That paid for the snack at the airport.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. She has sold shirts, and you know, she's got a little bit of money in her savings account, but basically Bill and I paid for her to fly down there, and you know, she was well taken care of on the cruise and everything, and there's really nothing I needed to do except sit in the room and play Sudoku, so I was fine.
You're bringing your 15-year-old daughter onto
15.
A 15.
Yes.
On a cruise ship, chock full of drag queens.
Yes.
And may I ask you, what state are you in? I guess you're in South Carolina?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. I imagine that your community, is it conservative? Is it progressive?
Oh, well, like I said, we have drag queen bingo here.
Yeah.
But, again, the state of North Carolina is, I mean, they voted against gay marriage and all that stuff. I mean,
it's a mixed bag, though.
It's this state right now, the government is so screwed up.
So when you're telling your friends and family, like, hey, Annecy and I are going to go on a cruise ship full of drag queens and hang out for a week, was there anybody in your family, like, raising an eyebrow about it?
No, everybody thought it was great.
Well, that's a heartwarming to hear.
Yes.
And then most recently, Annecy, well, I guess you guys went to San Francisco so Annecy could play Toto in Peach's Crisis production of Wizard of Oz. They call it Wizard of Odd with Sharon Needles as the Wicked Witch.
Yes, and Peach's Christ as Peachy Gale.
I imagine that you're sitting in the audience, and I think actually Annecy, from the video that we saw, like really stole the show as Toto.
Well, here's the thing. She did an awesome job. She did just enough. I mean, Annecy tends to be very charismatic on stage. When she was in middle school, the teacher would never give her a lead role. She was afraid Annecy would get stage fright, which is crazy because with Annecy, when she gets on the stage, it's like a button is clicked and she's on. The bigger the audience, the more on she is. But even when she would be in ensembles and stuff in middle school, you couldn't take your eyes off of her. You know, she was just, she made you want to watch her. So my concern had been, well, is she going to upstage, you know, the other actors, even though...
She kind of did, didn't she? When Sharon Needles dies, she walks over like a dog and pees on her.
Yeah, she improv that herself.
That's the best part of the whole show to me.
Oh, it's great, yes. Yeah. It was great. But see, what she ended up doing it perfectly because she didn't overdo it, but she didn't underdo it. It's not like she just sat there. She's so into theater. This isn't just about her being in love with drag. This is about her love of theater. We had a dog, a German Shepherd, who died last year, but she was so close to that dog. So she was channeling that dog, but she's also seen The Wizard of Oz a million times. She watched it over and over again to see how Toto moved. And she really tried to be a dog, but not steal, you know, the attention from the main character. And it worked. She did just the right amount. It would have been real easy for Annecy to have distracted. But I feel like that she really nailed it.
You seem to have some reservations about going on the drag queen cruise. Did you have any reservations about going out to San Francisco and doing this production?
My only reservations are the money and the fact that I'm agoraphobic. I could just stay home all the time and be happy.
Aww.
But this forced me to actually, you know, have to get out. I hadn't been on a plane since 1994. I used to travel all the time. It was different when I was alone. Mm-hmm. But traveling with other people kind of, you know, it was a big step for me to have to make that trip.
Well, that's not what somebody who would be religious might say to you is, God brought you Annecy to bring balance to your life.
Well, nobody says, I don't know anybody that says anything like that. I mean, everybody that I know is really supportive of her. Yeah. If there's anybody that doesn't, they haven't said anything to me.
Is there any challenges in being a mom to a nonconformist like Annecy?
I can't think of any. I mean, why not? I mean, here's the thing. Whatever Annecy is, she's done herself. I am not a stage mom. I'm not, I wish I had been an actress, so let's make you into an actress. She just does her thing, and I'm just, you know, hanging on for dear life, you know, wherever she needs to go.
Well, she really puts herself out there online and in media and stuff. Do you have a lot of worries? Because, like, my friends who have got kids, they're just like, you can't be on Facebook. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do that online.
That was a problem for a long time.
Yeah.
She got her first computer when she was a year and a half. And see, I have been in the online business since 1986, when you used modems and Commodores and things like that.
Wow, you're an early adapter.
You know, like 300 to 1200 baud, you know.
It's an adopter, not adapter.
Adapter.
Adapter is what you like when you
early
put
adapter.
Your
yes.
USB to FireWire cable or...
That's my British accent.
No, these were totally serial ports, okay?
Yeah.
There was no USB back then. It was, you know, 5.5 flop or 5.25 floppies, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and so I kind of watched the whole internet evolve, and I've always been very proactive about privacy because, I've always told my kids, don't put anything in an email or anywhere on the internet that you wouldn't want, you know, your teachers or, you know, somebody's parents or whatever to see. You know, they did that to a point, but there's only so much you can control. And Annecy was getting really bad about that. I mean, she was putting too much out there, you know, and, you know, she kept changing her Tumblr accounts thinking, you know, well, mom finds this one, you know, so I'm going to just put another one up. And it really did get to be a problem. But at the same time, because of her middle school experience, she had no IRL friends.
Mm.
So this was her life.
Mm-hmm.
She had no friends at school kind of thing, you know, going on because everybody bullied her and picked on her. And finally, by the really pretty much the second half of eighth grade, she was put in a program where a teacher came here twice a week. So she was even at home the second part of eighth grade. So, you know, this was just her way of expressing herself. And, you know, I couldn't catch everything.
Sometimes we're individuals that are ahead of our times, and I definitely think Annecy in some ways, she's a child of the future. And so when you're a child of the future, it's hard sometimes to relate to your peers. When I was a little kid at the age of 16, most of my friends were adults. And it was really hard to relate to other kids my age because I was doing interesting, exciting, fun things, and they were like wanting to watch TV or play video games or do something very mundane. And so, you know, I was very lucky that I had parents that encouraged my passions and creativity. And I feel that you are a person who does that as well for Annecy.
Well, I was considered, I don't know if weird is the word, but I was not like everybody else, but everybody liked me, you know. I mean, I had lots of friends, but I mean, I would do things like I have a black satin cape with a fuchsia lightning bolt I made to wear to a Led Zeppelin concert in 75. I'd wear that to school. I was probably the only person with a pair of black satin pants. I was really into glam. When I went to see David Bowie in 1974, my friend and I had to make our own glitter makeup by mixing glitter and Vaseline.
What?
And, you know, in 10th grade,
exist, right? Yeah. Yeah, it was hard
to dye
to
my hair. I had to use Rit dye because you just didn't go down to, you know, the drugstore and buy fuchsia hair color, you know.
Oh, you could dye with Rit?
What color was your hair, Dee Dee, in high school? I guess that's the question,
oh,
right?
It's been, I guess the start of 10th grade, I did these stripes of like blue, red, purple, yellow, and green. But it didn't really last that long because it's Rit.
Mm-hmm.
You mix it with alcohol, it does a little better, then it just sort of turned to this steel color.
I ran into a guy the other day. He said he dyes his hair with red with a carpet dye because he's like, it's really
that
sticks.
That sounds toxic.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, I said to my hairstylist, is this dye going to hurt my baby? And he says, probably.
Well, my grandmother actually had a beauty shop, and she was able to order this spray-on stuff called Nestle's Hair Color. And I know one time she pulled my hair through the frosting cap and sprayed it green, and it looked really cool. But it washes out. So, but anyway, so I was, you know, since I was that way, I guess, you know, I mean, I never wanted my kids to, you know, I never tried to push them into the sort of, you know, regular average mold. I didn't necessarily want them to be weird, but you know, non-generic, I guess, is the way I would put it.
Or out, you worry as a parent that your kid's an outcast.
I worried with Annecy.
Yeah.
Avalon, her older sister, Avalon was born a teenager, so she's always been older than her age. Annecy never wanted to grow up.
Annecy is an interesting name. How did you choose that? And Avalon also is an interesting name as well.
Well, Avalon's from the Roxy Music song, and Annecy is, it's a town in France that Bill and I went to, I think, in 19...
Bill's your husband?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Bill. We went to Annecy in the early 90s, and it's a beautiful town. And when I was pregnant with Avalon, Annecy just didn't seem right yet. So Avalon ended up being that, her name. And then Annecy came along 3 years later, and it just was the right name because, first of all, we love the town of Annecy, and her grandmother's names are Ann and Nancy. So it's sort of like, yeah, this is the Annecy.
That's a very Southern thing to combine names. My friend Kirthy, her grandparents were Kermit and Dorothy. I combined it to Kirthy.
I wouldn't have named her Annecy if we hadn't been to a town. I wouldn't have just made that up. I wanted something that was going to be unique, but not, you know, weird or, you know, just some sort of spelled strange or something. You know, I just wanted something that, you know, so she wouldn't have to put a letter after her name at school because, you know, there were, you know, 10 other kids with the same name, you know.
That says a lot about you as a parent, you know that.
Well, you know, I don't know. It's like, you know, you see these, I look at a lot of these pictures of teenage girls and, you know, like you scroll through their Facebook pages and they all have the exact same look with a big, huge smile, I guess, because to show that they had braces, slightly turned with their hand on their hip, you know, or they'll be in groups of them, you know, all the same hairstyle. And you just flip through, it's the same face in every picture. You know, and, you know, Annecy, you're going to get, you hardly ever get a face with a real smile. It's always something goofy, you know. But, you know, it's just, I just let them be who they want to be.
Annecy's really good at getting the attention of artists and performers. Sharon Needles calls Annecy her drag daughter, but she's also hung out not just with all the drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race, but with Katy Perry.
Yeah, that was strange, because she wanted to go to the opening show of the California Dreams Tour,
yeah,
which was in Georgia, and I'm like, I'm really going to drive to Atlanta, but she had missed another time, so I said, okay, I'll do this time. So we went down there, she bought this VIP package, and I was doing a radio show at the time, and so I had set up an interview with Patrick Matera. This ended up having absolutely nothing to do with what happened on stage. But, you know, we went to, Katie had rented the entire hotel. And so, you know, we're like, so we went and did the interview in the lobby. And then I took Annecy and dropped her off for this VIP thing. And then I went to visit some friends in the city of Atlanta, and I was going to come back and watch the show. And the whole time Annecy driving down there, I want to get on stage with Katie. I want to be on stage with Katie. I'm like, Annecy, don't overhype this to yourself because I don't want to take you home crying, okay? So she's like, no, I just want to be up on stage with Katie. So I ended up getting back a little late, and so I came in towards the end of the show. I'm going to my seat. I just had a regular seat up in the upper level. And as I walked into the arena, you know, it's all dark and everything, and I look down on the stage, and just as I look down, I see Katie taking Annecy by the hand, and they're skipping down the catwalk. And I'm like, what? And then they turn around and, you know, do some other stuff. Then the song ends, and Annecy's up there with her cupcake hat and three tote bags full of merch. And, this, you know, the song ends, it's quiet, and Annecy says, will you take a picture with my phone? So she has to dump her tote bags all on the stage. It's just her and Katie, no music, no nothing, while Annecy finds her phone. Well, her phone isn't on because her battery runs out. You know, so we have to wait for the phone to come on. And she goes, oh, I see you have a text from your mom.
So she's stopping the whole show just so Annecy can take a selfie with Katy Perry.
Well, actually, yes, Katie took the picture. And then the picture that people see all over the internet is one that Katie's photographer took because it ended up on katyperry.com. She kind of got taken back all around. Johnny Wujek, her stylist, just absolutely loved Annecy. And you know, she just got treated like a real VIP after the show. And, I don't know how that happened. I mean, that didn't have anything to do with me interviewing Patrick. It's just somehow Annecy got Katie's attention when she was calling people up on stage. And
who's Patrick exactly that you interviewed?
Patrick Matera. Oh, that's Katie's guitar player.
Oh, I see. Because you're involved in media as well.
Yeah, I used to be a DJ a long time ago, and then I came back and did internet radio for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, but I'm not doing that now.
We love Annecy so much, and we think she's so special. And I wonder what you say to her when she feels sad or alone or worried or scared.
Well, the main thing is to let your kid know there's nothing in the world they can do that would make you not love them. That's, you know, I've always told my kids that. I don't judge my kids. You know, I might, you know, advise them and, you know, give them rules and everything. But the thing is, there's no such thing as a bad kid. There is bad behavior, but there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's how you treat the behavior, not the person. I never try to make my kids feel like they're bad or inferior.
Mm-hmm. Dee Dee, I'd like to extend an invitation to you and Annecy to come into our kitchens here in Chicago to be participating with Cooking with Drag Queens, the web series.
Well, you should bring Bill for that, because I cannot stand food preparation, and he's an amazing cook. So bring Bill for Cooking with Drag
Queens. Okay, we'll do that.
Because the father's the one that
how
cooks
does he
in the
look,
house.
How does he look good in a dress?
Actually, he dressed up as Halloween on Halloween many years ago as Ramona. We put a black wig on him and makeup and one of my black dresses, and
Ramona,
I thought he
from,
looked
like,
great.
The Real Housewives?
Or? Oh no, he looked nice.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you know, beautiful. And I remember I wanted to put it on Facebook many years ago, and he's like, "No, don't post that." Well, once all this drag stuff started, he decided to put it up, so it's out there somewhere.
Mm.
Ramona. But yes, he would be the one to... You're doing a cooking show?
Yeah, we're doing a cooking show featuring a lot of gender non-conforming artists, mostly drag queens, but, you know, it would be great to do something with Annecy and one of her parents. Annecy is the drag daughter every drag queen deserves, but you guys are the parents everybody deserves.
Well, you know, I mean, we just try to be supportive of our kids. I mean, why wouldn't you be?
Amen.
You know, I don't try to live my failed dream through my kids, you know. They kind of have to find it themselves. I will say one thing about Annecy and her internet stuff, the way, how she used to kind of put a bunch of stuff out there. I really have to credit the crews, and particularly Sharon, for helping Annecy learn she doesn't have to put everything out there. That cruise really did so much for her. I think it was one of the best things for her, actually, besides the fact she turned 16 on the cruise. But she spent a lot of time with Sharon, and I guess they talked a lot or whatever, but she really matured a lot on that. And it was after that she stopped kind of putting everything out there as much. She's learned that it's okay to not tell everybody everything you know.
Mm-hmm. That is so
true.
And
Sharon's been a really good influence on her.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Dee Dee, we want to give you a big hug and a kiss, and one for Bill and Annecy and Avalon.
I appreciate you having Annecy on the show. I think it's wonderful. She handles all this really well.
Well, I like her because, we're a fan of hers, but she's also a fan of ours, too, which is, I like, too, because it's like her videos and the things that she does. And she did a testimonial for Cooking with Drag Queens, which really, it's my favorite one. I just think it's so cute and adorable.
Well, I haven't seen that. You know, I can't keep up with all her videos.
She puts a lot out there.
She first, she started videoing herself or making videos when she's like 6, so she could operate a camera. Have you seen the one of her when she's like, I don't know, 8 or 9, where she's dancing with a cane?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, you've got to see that.
Okay.
That is so funny, especially if you know her now. It's somewhere on her YouTube.
Okay, I'll look for
it. And it's really, it's adorable. It wouldn't be as cute if you didn't know her now, but it's funny. And you got to watch it all the way to the end and hear her go, "I am the tool." I'm going to go and let you get back to the rest of your show.
Thank you so much, Dee Dee, for talking to us.
Thank you. We love your show.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Annecy and her mother, Dee Dee, live in a small little town in North Carolina, and you can follow Annecy on Twitter and Facebook.
She's everywhere.
She's everywhere. We're going to post links on the today's show on the website with Queen Annecy. Actually, she's more of a princess than a queen, but she's a queen in our hearts.
Well, I think she thinks of herself as a drag queen.
She, in my eyes, she will always be a drag queen.
It'll be interesting to watch her grow up and see where she goes and what she does, you know?
And if she, you know, tomorrow she says, you know, this was really helpful to me as a young woman and I'm ready to move on to other things, that's okay too.
Who knows? Maybe she'll move off to India and help the poor. Or she'll become a fabulous star like Cher or Katy Perry and fly above audiences.
Or she'll become a scientist and develop a cure for cancer.
Maybe. And she'll Anything's
save,
possible.
Ironically, here's the twist.
What?
She'll save Sharon Needles' life.
She will.
In the future. Sharon saved her life. Now she gets to return the favor.
What unholy scientific experiments will she have to prolong Sharon's life?
It involves lightning and electricity and a brain from a cadaver. Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is possible because of your financial support. If you haven't gotten yourself a Feast of Fun t-shirt, hunty, you're missing out. Go to feastoffun.com/store and get yourself a Shantae t-shirt. The shade is strong with this one. Reading is fundamental, and of course, our favorite Hunty t-shirts.
And I want to remind folks, too, that we can't do the show without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, consider signing up today at feastoffun.com/plus.
And last but not least, Cooking with Drag Queens is 33.33% funded.
Yay!
And that's just in the first few days. And I said that to somebody at the beach, and they were like, well, Reading Rainbow got $1 million. I'm like, yeah, but Reading Rainbow, as much as it sounds like it's a drag queen show, it's not. Cooking with Drag Queens is, and it's you can go to tinyurl.com/cookingwithdragqueens and get the link, or just search on Kickstarter Cooking with Drag Queens.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.